You are listening to Ismail Hassan. I am the founder and head coach of Aikido of London. Welcome to the Aikido of London discussion series. This is season two, which I'm happy to start again, which is on a more technical basis than the previous season. And today's chat is once more, I've got Erjan Eger, who's joining me from South London, from Blackheath. And today's chat is about a super important aspect of training, the humble grip. And first of all, hello, Erj.
Hello, hi.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. South London is okay, yes. Yeah. It's still south.
Yeah, is it still under the bloody lockdown number two now?
Yes, definitely, it? Yes. Yeah, we're still in lockdown, but yeah. It's not as serious as the first one by lots of things at the moment.
but good to hear your voice again, yep. And unfortunately not seeing on the mat. But here we go. It's a great subject, and it's in a sense everything, isn't it? For Aikido training and weapons training and the Aido training, and if you've done judo, you'll understand exactly what we're talking about. But what would you like to discuss about?
I suppose that if the topic itself is about grip, but you know, people might misunderstand, as in if they haven't done martial arts before, or they've only just done it up to a certain, you know, beginner level, you know, what's the big deal about a grip? You know, we're not talking about something here that's you know, it's not like a technique in a sense. You know, we're not saying you're gonna squeeze somebody's head in with your grip, or you know, you're gonna do some damage with your grip. But it is, like you said, it is. We were saying before, it's kind of really so intertwined with what you do, what we do in Aikido, and like you said, in judo and many other martial arts, and as you mentioned, like previously, you know, like tennis, other sports. And, you know, I found, you know, the gripping, especially at the beginning of training, as being, you know, you just couldn't do it without it. I think it generated so much of the feeling of connection that we need for Aikido to actually, you know, function, to be able to do Aikido properly. And you know, so this is a big part, I suppose, because it leads you into the connection part of Aikido. You know, for us to do Aikido, you need a connection between one person and the other, and you need to be able to feel where one person is going, or being taken, or vice versa. So yeah, it's paramount, basically, the grip.
It is. It's the very fact that for not only beginners, but for the longest time, the emphasis is on the grip rather than striking.
And the interesting thing is like, you know, it starts as a grip, and you know, you grip, you tie, you've got a grip which is really tight and really strong and whatever. And but then at some point, grip is also, it's just a touch. It turns into, you know, what point does it turn from a grip into just contact? It stops, becomes something a little bit more finessed and more dexterous at some point.
I was thinking of a chat I had recently with Yahi Solomon in the US, and he talks about touch and contact, and he talks about it in the context of a blade, particularly a sword or a tanto, a knife, and that whenever we make contact, the sensitivity is that, yes, we can be solid and the grip can be strong, etc. And that's a very good way to start training, and that, as you say, there's a transition at some point that the finesse that it develops, or the sensitivity that develops, should be that any contact should be construed as a blade, and that raises your level of movement. It's a finer tuned movement, which is easily lost when the pressure's on. There's the old saying that when you, I suppose, when you panic a little and you tighten up a little, then the big muscles take over rather than the more finely tuned ones. It's a different level of training, and for those who who've made comments, I've read here and there in various platforms that this is the bigger muscles that matter. They're completely wrong. If you want to understand high quality training, it's the fine movements, mm-hmm. which means a mental attitude, which means treating that contact, that grab is a weapon. You know, you're grabbing a weapon, mm-hmm. your wrist, your collar, your in reverse behind you. So there's an attitude towards that, but the grip itself also is a center to center thing, isn't it? It's like I grab your wrist, mm-hmm. I'm trying to grab with my tandem, with my belly, and you should be responding also with that, which it reminds me of many chats we've had over the years, especially when I was in the US, that like little babies, little toddlers, when they grab with everything. The mind is not really that engaged in the sense of an adult. So when they grab and you move, they move as a whole. So the mind-body connection is already very firm, because that's the sort of the natural state of existence. Of course, in training, that's developed in a different way, and there's things to overcome because of certain habits that get in the way. But is that something you've picked up on yourself? Yeah. That is very relevant to what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the babies and gripping. I've got loads of nieces and nephews, as you know, ton of them, and they're amazing. And when they're babies, when they grip, it is amazing. I'm always really surprised at how strong the grip is for a little baby. It's really, really strong for their size, and you know, they've only just been born, they're a few months old, whatever. It's really stunning.
Stronger than adults, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you kind of compare, you know, I'm thinking if they're this strong now, the grip, you know, when they grow up, and if it went up exponentially, it would be, you know, off the charts. It doesn't go up exponentially, thank God. But yeah, it is really, really surprising how strong it is and how natural it is just to grip, and how they move with that grip and they're attached to it. And also, like, you know, when you see beginners coming in, it's really interesting to see how you have to kind of cajole or kind of hold their hand a little bit into, you know, when you tell them to grip and, you know, you step forward and grip, you know, and you tell, you know, you step forward with that leg and you grip with that hand, sort of thing. But it's surprising how many times you have to repeat that and how many times you have to say it and how many times, how kind of mechanical and unnaturally they do it. You know, it's to step forward and grab something. You know, they must do it, you know, a half dozen or a dozen times a day. You know, they step forward and grab a pencil off the table, or they step forward and grab a doorknob to open it. And they do it very naturally, and everybody does it very naturally. But then, you know, you put them into a dojo and say, you know, step forward and grab, then it becomes all very, there's so much going on in their heads that they just lose that ability to step forward and grab. It's the most natural thing to do in the world.
That's very interesting. Yeah. It's like, well, I suppose grabbing a doorknob is not going to try and put you on the floor.
Yeah,
it's part of what's going on.
Yeah.
And the association of training, mm-hmm. martial art, etc. But it makes me think about, certainly in a non-technical fashion, just grab, just kick, mm-hmm. just punch. Okay, this is not a technical thing. Mm. This, in terms of the mind, just walk up, like you said, step forward. Mm. You're either going to grab them on the left side, or you're going to grab them on the right side, unless you're going behind. And so, in that respect, having a almost a stupid mindset is rather useful. That you step forward to do that. Of course, there's technique, how you grip, the nature of that grip is very important. Mm. The Bokken base, the little finger tightening, the subsequent fingers and the thumb wrapping around either the wrist or the collar or the or a boken or a katana, and you're molding your body, you're shaping your body to that grip, and it's that it's the ability to do that will give you the quality of contact that both sides require. But before you can attain that, you've got to be able to do the stupid part, which is to step forward and just grab that wrist. That's the there's no technique required for that. You just got to and do that. But an interesting story, and I don't know if you ever saw this. It was in Japan in 1988. We're going a long way back. I think it was 88. And it was Mike Tyson was defending his heavyweight championship, which the one that he lost actually to Buster Douglas. And the Japanese the group that was working with him, they took him to the sumo stables, and they took him to the Yoshinkan dojo where the late Shioda sensei was teaching. And he this tiny man versus this powerful athlete, and Tyson went to grab the wrist, and he was going to do a simple Taino Henko, which, if you don't know what I mean, you're pivoting behind the guy, pivoting around the grip. And Tyson's grip was on, off. He was very hesitant and looking at the old man moving. What can he possibly do as a pivot? But it's the fighter and possibly the old street fighter in him that was very, very switched on. That contact is right. Not just physical.
Yeah. I'm giving you something here. I want to actually give this over to you. You know, my grip, my posture, my energy, my, you know, my weight, my giving that to you. It's giving that over, really.
To a guy who's disappearing behind your back, which is something in a dangerous situation, is something you never do. You never allow that, and whereas we allow it to a certain degree because you know you got to learn, and that's part of it. But it's very revealing. And but back to the technical part, have you yourself learned the correlation between the boken grip and let's stick to the wrist for the moment and just grabbing the wrist.
I would say, but I mean more so with I wouldn't say more so. It's slightly different, I suppose. You know, when you're holding the sword and the boken, and you know you're playing with it slowly. You know, we usually, you know, when we start, we kind of like play around with it a little bit. You know, bounce it up and down, and but having that little bounce. Feeling that weight kind of generated, you know, the energy as it's generated as you're moving it with your abs and your tendon, you know, with your center is really strong. And that's not happened to me until kind of quite later on. Mechanical previously, you know, using lifting the sword and then bringing it down or bringing it to the side, whatever. But it's gelled slightly quite a bit more with your center and how you kind of manipulate it and how you move it around your center, which is really amazing. And when it comes to kind of the wrist, you know, when you're actually doing the connection exercises or when you're grabbing someone and they're going to be doing a technique on you, it's more of, yes, it does come from the center, but then I feel my attention so much more on you know, the sensitivity. I know it should be the same between the boken and when you're doing with someone else, but because we practice the boken a lot of times also on our own, and Iaido especially, you know, with a grip, your consciousness is really right on your grip, because I want to be actually feeling what they're doing, what they're going to be doing, and it's like this sensitivity that comes in is really, really, really strong. Yes, I find it a really powerful thing just to grip someone. But again, you're gripping, but it's also a touch. It's also you're reading what's happening. You're feeling where it's going. It's not just you're gripping on. Because also, like you said, there's little play with, you know, your little finger and the smaller muscles and how they work. You might, you know, work those little muscles a little bit on their wrists to make it maybe a little bit more difficult for them. It's a really sensitive thing. The word grip, I think, is quite misleading in some sense.
Well, they say grip with the tendon, don't they? What's interesting, though, is I suppose what you're saying is that this has come about through relaxing. So on the one hand, conditioning, and on the one hand, you can do it only the way you're able to do it at any given point in time. But as one progresses and improves, and we don't necessarily mean technically improving here, relaxing into it, as relaxation comes in, especially under a certain adversity, you stay limber. Yeah.
It's quite literally like having you've got eyes, you've got ears for listening, nose for smelling, and your hands just become this other thing that, you know, just picks up all this information that's coming through. It really is that sensitive. Is really stunning feeling. Really, really is. And like when you're doing sword work, Matt, two person exercises, then again that just becomes, you know, another sense that's coming into to your kind of consciousness, let's say.
I was just thinking also, when we get stuck in training and people are just getting on with it, you have to exhibit all those qualities without, in a way, forget it. You've learned it, then you've got to forget it, and just it will be what it will be on any given day. And like a demonstration, like a good class where there's not a lot of conversation, there's virtually none, and you're getting in there and you're getting on with it. It doesn't mean to say you abandon all those qualities. It's still, you know, it like I said, it'll be what it'll be, and maybe on another day it'll be better because you progress. And then you get on with what you've achieved. I was also thinking, you know, like they were talking about, like you mentioned tennis earlier on, how some of the top pros, we're talking about Wimbledon, the US Open, Australian Open level of play, and they get when they get a new coach, quite often you hear, and I certainly recall it because I'm sort of switched on to certain kinds of information that relate to training, and one of those is the grip, and they're talking about the adjustment in how they're holding their racket, how they're handling their body in relation to that racket, and that grip, the adjustment, probably imperceptible to most people, and yet to that player, it's completely changed my game. I'm a stronger, I'm a better player, I'm a more precise player, and that's how important it is. And whilst people aren't professional athletes of that caliber, it doesn't matter. The principle applies, that you grab that kind of knowledge and apply it, and you have to know your body, because that's a big part of what it is. And I also, to my mind, is the more precise and the more quality that's attained through that contact when we move on to the strikes, whether it be a ski or a shomen, a vertical strike, a kesa, a round, a diagonal strike, and whichever one it is, that the you don't suddenly panic and then change the whole way that your mind body operates. You continue what knowledge has been acquired through the grip, and you deal with it in the same way. But of course, the urgency is a little different. The sharpness of movement might be a little different, and so it expands on your knowledge. But if you're unable to achieve that, then you come back to the grip, because obviously the body still.
I suppose it might be misleading a little bit to say, you know, the grip, and people kind of you just imagine on it just gripping, but you know, it's not a static thing. It's a moving thing. But, you know, it's a static for a split second when you've grabbed. That's it. That's the only point where it's static. Then it starts moving because you've gripped, and then the other person is moving you. So your grip has to be. It's very, very malleable, because you can't really be, you know, strong grip, solid, and staying there. You can, but that's not the point. You know, when you're being moved, then, you know, everything else moves. So your grip is then connected to the wrist, and then that's connected to the elbow, and then the shoulder, and the whole body has to move somehow. If it doesn't, then obviously, you know, we're not, it's not Aikido, I suppose.
That sounds more like wrestling. People get confused. I've seen that quite often when they start wrestling with the movement, and I don't find it offensive at all. I just think Well, why aren't you wrestling? You know, if you prefer that way of engaging with someone. But if you look at the good wrestlers, they that principle in judo, in particular, I should add, and I'm sure BJJ is similar. The way you handle your body through the because gripping is the collar, the gi, and everything. It's not just a question of I'm muscular and very powerful and therefore can hold very strong. It's not enough. You've got to be malleable, adaptable, and it all pivots around how that contact is established with it. It reminds me of there's an old photograph. Trevor Leggett is the Zen and the Ways, I think it was, a very old book, and the relationship, which is sometimes it's far fetched. You know, can you always use Zen as a principle behind martial art? Often you can, not always, but he showed a couple of judoka, old school judoka, solid units facing each other, and one of them is extending his arm. I think he was Japanese champion, and he was extending his arm and to grab the other guy's collar and his gi. And if you look at his shoulders, his elbows, his wrists, they're completely, utterly loose. They will wrap their fingers around the gi, and they'll tuck their elbows in, and they'll shape their hip and elbow and body and everything else around the particular technique they're trying to achieve, if they can, of course, achieve it. But without that initial basis for the whole thing, it's impossible to do. And so you become a very brittle or very rigid player, and then you run into trouble, because the strong, flexible one will always beat the strong, stiff one. It's the nature of that kind of training. And what about in sword work? How do you find that in your Iaido training? And you've practiced with both, katana and
For sure. Obviously, the live blade, sharp blade is you can't compare it. I mean, that's a really stunning feeling to be practicing with one. It's kind of like the Bokken. I mean, I feel like the Bokken work we do, because we're able to do that two person, there's a lot more in, it's a lot more maybe dynamic, definitely a lot more exciting. Because, you know, there's a wooden sword coming towards you. Yes, it's not a light blade, but it's still going to do a lot of damage. And then you do need to there is this kind of, you're on your toes a little bit, you know, trying to read what's happening. Are you trying to read it between the contact of the bokkens, which then, you know, transfers to your grip and to your wrist and stuff. So that becomes a lot more dynamic, I would say, a lot more exciting. But the sense of the grip...
Amplified.
Completely amplified. Because there's always, like, you know, like the difference between of grabbing, stepping forward and grabbing a doorknob and grabbing someone else. You know, there's no expectation in one, whereas the other one, there's definitely an expectation something's going to happen or something might happen, which is the same thing with, you know, the Bokken work. With the Iaido, I suppose, no, there's no expectation something's going to happen. You maybe lose a little bit of that, or I do for a start. You know, the trying to read what's happening there, and, you know, the sensitivity. But again, with a live blade, I don't know. There's a different quality to it for sure.
I think you've addressed the sometimes the expectation part, and possibly nerves. Other aspects of it, but what's interesting is you cannot throw someone if they don't give you something. If you cannot execute the move, this is the nature of the timing of basic training. There's many things you can do, but in terms of understanding the kata and the body mechanics, and how to handle yourself and how to handle the other person, there has to be a level of commitment on the other side. That gets misconstrued. So you either got someone who's not giving you anything, in which case there's no contact, in which case there's no dialogue through the training. So that's part one. Part two, if they charge in, and so their idea of committing is the doorknob again. Just stand, just go forward, and just grab it without being too conscious. And yet you have to be aware of what you're doing at the same time. Otherwise, you get too close. Otherwise, you are too far away, or you're in the wrong position there, etc. But by sort of giving yourself, in other words, you're engaging, then something can happen within the training. Often confused with notions of combat or fighting, where when you're fighting, you don't give yourself that way. It's pretty obvious unless you've decided this is the moment you're going to take the other person out in what you're doing. But in terms of general training that you can do daily and frequently to cultivate that sensitivity and that physical condition that you need, you've got to engage, you've got to communicate, whether it's a grip on a body, whether it's a boken, or even on your own. The grip still matters in terms of the Iaito. So I think even the commitment in the Iaito is there, because you can tell when you look at someone, through that contact with the weapon, are they communicating with that weapon, and are they engaged with that weapon, and the quality of how they handle that weapon, stroke, how they handle their body, becomes very revealing.
I kind of find it quite scary a lot of times doing the Iaito, because the grip is so soft. And I think maybe that softness is transferred over to the boken work. Whereas, you know, when you're doing boken work and there are two people and you know, you might be a little bit nervous, so you're gripping a little bit tighter. But I think the Iaito, because there isn't that expectation, I've kind of learned to be a lot more relaxed with the grip. But it's very scary doing, you know, cuts and full speed cuts as well with your grip so soft. You know, I'm always quite surprised at how soft it is and doing really fast cuts. And it's a little bit scary thinking, Jesus, I hope it doesn't fly out of my hand one of these days, you know, when you're a little bit tired or something or other. And, you know, it might be a really dramatic accident at some point. Yeah. But it's just so, so very soft. It's hardly a grip. It's basically more of a manipulation. You're manipulating the sword to rise up and then manipulating it to kind of cut down. It's not really a grip in a sense.
The timing of the cut, the rhythm, you've heard me often say in class, jōhaku is the relative speed, and it's not just a superficial thing where you start slow, you accelerate, and then it concludes with a release of energy. But that starts from your belly, starts from the tanden, and you cannot transmit it into the cut, into a cutting the elbow down to do the kata in body to body in Aikido, Taijutsu, in other words, that release of energy. And there's also in a sense, junior to senior. With a junior, you start very fast. You take that balance very sharply, but because they can't land and fall safely, then you slow it down. So fast beginning, slow it down. Again, the grip is so important here. As you get people who are more advanced and can handle it, and this is where it gets scary, which relates to your cutting, which is a very, very observant of you. It's when someone is being thrown irimilagi, it starts, I mean, it's all relative. Mm-hmm. It starts fast. In the middle, it's accelerating, and in the end, it's the fastest. But you can do that in the full knowledge that, fingers crossed, a little bit of risk there as well, that the person can handle that, they can take it, because you are accelerating now. You're not decelerating in order to not hurt the individual. And so the cut is the same. It accelerates, comes out of the tension, comes out of your center, explodes into extension into the weapon. And there's a feeling that
definitely. I mean, it kind of feels a bit like it's, I wouldn't say 50%, but, you know, not far off. 50% of the time from the minute you raise a sword to do the cut, it feels like it's floating in air. Rather than actually fixed to your body, it's really like, you know, floating in air. It feels like that quite often.
And it's also interesting that, again, just grab. Mm-hmm. There's no technique in that. That's the initial attitude. Technique develops as you go along. And when you think about it, the guys who do well in striking arts, in karate, for example, taekwondo, etc., just kick, just punch. You know, in other words, mentally, look, your right hand, your left hand. Of course, that's just the beginning. In other words, if you're shy of or reserved about doing that, it's probably not for you. But if you're willing to engage and train, which I guess people are because that's why they chose it, then how you form the grip in terms of how you hold your hand. For striking arts, your kicking technique. This is very sophisticated. It's not our area, but the principle, I believe, overlaps. And so enormous conditioning to have a good kick, to have a good strike and the versatility that is required. But I'll stop there with that one because I'm saving that for a different podcast with somebody else. They do overlap. It all overlaps, and that's what makes training so intriguing. But is there anything else you'd like to add?
I mean it's like again, if it's like for people that don't understand, I suppose I know we kind of usually say, you know, we practice gripping techniques quite a lot, as in, you know, somebody grips, what do you do and how do you do a technique from it? But and that does go in parallel with, you know, the punching, the kicking and whatever other techniques, the other striking, how you do the technique from those actions as well. But it's really good stepping stone. I think beginners, we always do, we begin with grips more than striking, I suppose. And it really gives a kind of good basis to progress from there. So from a grip to then maybe like a ski, which is kind of like a stabbing motion, let's say. But, you know, it's very similar to when you grab, you walk forward, you step forward and you grab. And that is the same thing as you step forward and you kind of like a stabbing motion ski. And, you know, it's really, yeah, I think it's a really great stepping stone. I think it's just a really great foundation to have. But it's not just stuck to the beginning. It goes on. You need to develop it further and it needs to develop into.
It does, but also I think even from a beginning stage, what do you learn? How to position yourself, how to move the rest of your body. And also part of it is you learn how to off-balance somebody and you get them into the position that you want them to be in, and then you have a choice. You can throw them, you can pin them, you can strike, you can kick, you can sweep the legs, you can put locks on. That's a choice. That's the... we've created a framework of how we train, and then once you've got that going for you, then you've got choices. We usually end up with a pin or a throw or a strike here or there, but the options are there. It is very rich. I just want to ask one question, Urge. Was it Sistema or was it Krav Maga that you tried?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to have a close relationship.
There were quite a few, I would say, techniques that were very, very similar. Yeah.
And when you went, obviously these guys are primarily training in that, and they're not
yourself. No, I don't think they were.
It was
loads of little bits here or there, to be honest. Obviously this was only one place I went to, and I went only a couple of times, so I can't really talk about Sistema in general or how they train in general, but it was all little bits here and there taken from this and that. There was maybe an underlying principle of some sorts, but there was no underlying like structure to training. It was all a little bit, I don't know. It was, you know, they look, you know, people look at Aikido and it's a little soft and floppy and whatever. But there was, they just missed the underlying principle of what you're trying to do and how you build onto it, if you get what I mean, build from it. I don't know. Well, there was a very, very, you know, slight resemblance to, you know, a few Aikido techniques. They were very similar in some sense, but it was like, you know, you're missing the point or actually you're missing a trick here.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is difficult probably to assess if it's
sessions.
Sure. You have to be
But, you know, I wasn't that impressed. But again, no, I was just two lessons and that was one club. So,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Let's close this urge. I think we've covered. There's not a lot to cover other than actually getting on the mat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was reading up on the issue as well the other day, and it's kind of like grip is or grip strength, I suppose, is also a measure that the medical field take quite often. It's supposed to be a measure of your health status in some instances, specific instances of your health. That's grip strength, but what about dexterity and whatever else? Does that measure? And I don't think I'm not sure if there's a connection between the two. As in, make your grip a lot stronger or more dexterous. Does that have some kind of impact on your health? Who knows?
It's a good observation, and I'm not a medical professional, and nor are you, so we don't know, but I'm sure there is some kind of overlap, but that's a separate subject. What I am aware of is from my own training, some people the quality of the grip, those who can grip with their core, it's a phenomenal quality. It's okay, I'm giving you my center, and now you better be able to move it. You better be able to handle it, and it's not as easy as it sounds. So it gets quite quite a bit deeper into it. I remember Chibasense's grip, which is staggering. It's suddenly, it's like a vice, and you're pinned to the ground. And the thing is that most people overlook is if you know what to do, you'll actually be able to throw him quite easily because he's so used to going, like all of us who trained to that degree. But you got to know what you're doing. If you try to muscle through and power through, it's just not going to work. And so dexterity and finesse does come into it at some point. Better. Sure. But
definitely.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for joining in again. I think it's a great chat, and I think we'll be adding more. There's more subjects to come along, but it's a good start to season two, I think. And
thank you for arranging it.
Take care.
Okay, hopefully see you soon.
Yeah, no problem. I hope so. I think there's a lot of frustration around the whole thing, but we'll be back, and we'll be back with a vengeance, I hope. And
cheers. Bye-bye.
Take care, H. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the ICAT of London discussion series.
Topic itself is about grip, but people might misunderstand as in if they haven't done martial arts before or they've only just done it up to a certain beginner level, what's the big deal about a grip? We're not talking about something here that's it's not like a technique in a sense. We're not saying you're gonna squeeze somebody's head in with your grip, or you're gonna do some damage with your grip. But it is, like you said, it is. We were saying before, it's kind of really so intertwined with what you do, what we do in Aikido, and like you said, in Judo and many other martial arts, and as you mentioned, like previously, like tennis, other sports. I found, the gripping, especially at the beginning of training, as being, you just couldn't do it without it. I think it generated so much of the feeling of connection that we need for Aikido to actually, function, to be able to do Aikido properly. This is a big part, I suppose, because it leads you into the connection part of Aikido.
So there's an attitude towards that. But the grip itself also is a center-to-center thing, isn't it? It's like I grab your wrist, mm-hmm. I'm trying to grab with my tanden, with my belly. And you should be responding also with that, which... it reminds me of many chats we've had over the years, especially when I was in the US. That like little babies, little toddlers, when they grab with everything. The mind is not really that engaged in the sense of an adult. So when they grab and you move, they move as a whole. So the mind body connection is already very firm, because that's the sort of the natural state of existence. Of course, in training, that's developed in a different way, and there's things to overcome because of certain habits that get in the way. But is that something you've picked up on yourself? Yeah. That is very relevant to what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the babies and gripping. I've got loads of nieces and nephews, as you know, ton of them, and they're amazing. And when they're babies, when they grip, it is amazing. I'm always really surprised at how strong the grip is for a little baby. It's really, really strong for their size, and you know, they've only just been born, they're a few months old, whatever. It's really stunning.
Stronger than adults, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you kind of compare, you know, I'm thinking if they're this strong now, the grip, you know, when they grow up, and if it went up exponentially, it would be, you know, off the charts. It doesn't go up exponentially, yes. Thank God. But it is really, really surprising how strong it is and how natural it is just to grip. When it comes to kind of the wrists, you know, when you're actually doing the connection exercises, or when you're grabbing someone and they're going to be doing a technique on you, it's more of, yes, it does come from the center, but then I feel my attention so much more on, the sensitivity. I know it should be the same between the boken and when you're doing with someone else, but because we practice the boken a lot of times also on our own, and Iaido especially. With a grip, your consciousness is really right on your grip, because I want to be actually feeling what they're doing, what they're going to be doing. And it's like this sensitivity that comes in is really, really, really strong. I find it a really powerful thing just to grip someone. But again, you're gripping, but it's also a touch. It's also you're reading what's happening. You're feeling where it's going. It's not just you're gripping on. Because also, like you said, there's little play with, you know, your little finger and the smaller muscles and how they work. You might, you know, work those little muscles a little bit on their wrists.
You have been listening to the Aikido of London discussion series.